Numbers chapter 13 tonight, Numbers chapter 13. Glad to see Miss Liz back up here singing and to see a new one. See Caitlin up here singing and, of course, Miss Lepper. Appreciate that new group. And one day we will understand it by and by. Numbers chapter 13 on our series of great faith. And tonight we'll preach on this subject of faith is not what you see. Faith is not what you see. And we'll talk about the children of Israel here, Moses leading them out of Egypt. God has given them a promise of a land, and we're going to see the problem with that unbelief in their life. And so, look, if you will, let's look at verses 20. Just to start off with, we're going to basically read the whole chapter here in a little bit. But let's look at verses 23 through 25. And, of course, they've come in. It's the time of the first ripe grapes. You can see there in verse 20. And it says in verse 23, and they came from the brook Ishcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it upon a stave. That's some big old grapes. I'm telling you. That's when you come out of a land carrying a cluster of grapes on a stave between two guys, I don't know about you, but you go to Walmart, did I tell you I'm on chapter, Numbers chapter 13? Some of you are still flipping, sorry. Numbers chapter 13, verse 23. And they grabbed the grapes there, and it says, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And it says, verse 24, the place was called the Brook of Ishcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. After 40 days. So after, remember they sent out 12 spies to spy out the land. 10 came back and gave a bad report. 2 came back and gave a good report. And really and truly, it's really this. 10 were had unbelief. 2 had faith. And we're going to look at that tonight as we pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. And Father, again, I pray that you would just hide me tonight. Lord, hide me in the cleft of that rock. And Lord, that you'd be seen and that you would be heard tonight. Lord, that we'd be not just hearers of your word, but be doers. Lord, help us to put our faith in action. Lord, help us to display our faith in this lost and dying world that they may see you and, Lord, may glorify you. And, Father, tonight I pray as we study this portion of Scripture that is familiar to us, but, Lord, I pray tonight that you would just deal with our hearts according to your will. And, Lord, again, we are thankful that you allow us to have faith and that you give it to us through your word and through the preaching of your word. Lord, tonight we thank you, ask you to bless now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So here we have the children of Israel, and they will spend 40 years in the wilderness because of unbelief. They come from Mount Horeb, and they go to Kadesh Barnea, and that would have took 11 days. That's what they say. It would have took 11 days for them to get to where they were, to the Promised Land. 11 days. But we know that it would take them 40 years to go from Kadesh Barnea to Kadesh Barnea. They took the long route. Why was that? Because 40 days they went into the land to spy it out. And because of their unbelief, and we're going to see all that here in a little bit, God said, for every day that you spent there, I'm going to give you a year. By the way, your unbelief can get you into trouble. Hello? Your unbelief can get you in trouble just like it did them. And of course, most of these that were of that generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness because of unbelief. The book of Hebrews tells us that. But notice that also 400 years God's people had been enslaved. They had been in Egypt and Moses was going to lead them out. They were set free with God and doing all of the things that we saw there in Egypt through Pharaoh and all those things that happened. And he said, I want you to do one thing. I want you to go and inhabit the land that I promised you. That was the command that he had given them. That is what he said to do. He said to go into the land. You ever thought about this? If the land was so dangerous, why did they spend 40 days there? You ever thought about that? You know, I've never been to Chicago, but I've heard. You know, I've been to Detroit before. And I don't tell you what, I'm not going to spend 40 days and 40 nights there. Hello. But you ever thought about this story? Is that here they come, they got grapes and pomegranates and figs, and they're coming back from the promised land after 40 days. That's over a month. I figured that out myself. And here they come back and they're like, boy, look at all the grapes, and look, boy, the land does flow with milk and honey, but we can't do it. Would you say, well, why in the world did you spend 40 days and 40 nights over there? Yeah, you know, if we go to a place where we fear and a place where we don't think we belong, listen, I'm not going to spend 40 days and 40 nights there. I'm coming back probably after a night. And let's be reminded that they didn't stay in the Hilton. So it wasn't like they had a nice accommodations. It was, we see that they come back and let me, I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, it's a lack of faith. And a lack of faith, by the way, is sin. Let me give you three things tonight. Number one, Moses wanted confirmation rather than obeying a command. Moses wanted confirmation rather than obeying a command. Go back, if you will, to verse 1. To verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 13 of Numbers. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, here's what he said. Send thou the men that thou mayest search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Not that I'm going to give you. Notice the wording. You believe your Bible tonight? He said, which I gave you. That land is already yours. This land is yours. And of course, he said, take one out of every tribe. And then, if you will, skip on down to verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is. Now, by the way, you're going to see Moses' lack of faith. Because God never told him to do this. He said, tell the people that dwelleth there, whether they be strong or weak. Did it really matter? God said, I've given you this land. And Moses is saying, why are you over there? Can you kind of judge and see, are these guys strong or are they weak? You know what faith says? It doesn't matter. Because how big is my God, right? Notice what he says. Now, whether they be few or many. Now, if there's a few over there, I think we can handle it. See, that's the kind of faith we can have at times, isn't it? Now, if they're weak, we can handle this. If they're few, we can handle this. But listen, if there gets to be too many people and too big of people, we're done. No, that's when your faith is. You trust God. Notice what else he says. He says this, he says in verse 19, he says that in the land that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, God had already told him that it was good. You know how he told him it was good? He said it is a land that floweth with milk and honey, and it is a land of plenteous. And everything that God had promised, Moses is going, well, I need confirmation. You know what this reminds me? You ever pray for something and God answers it and you need three more forms of identification in order to approve it? You feel like you're at the DMV? You ever go there and try to get something done? You never have what you need? They're like, well, we need one more form of identification. I mean, I gave you blood. I've got my birth certificate. You know, I got my mama, my grandmother here. You know, I got video of my birth, and you don't even believe I'm here, right? It's amazing. But here's Moses. And sometimes in our life, we can come to the altar and we can pray, and God can answer those prayers. And we go, well, Lord, if you really mean it, do this. I heard a preacher one time give an illustration. He said he felt the Lord was calling him to move churches, and he had been praying about it. And he said, Lord, he said, if he was going down the road one night, going home, and he said, Lord, if you really want me to go pastor to that church, he said, let a deer just jump out in front of me right now. Boom, deer jumped out in front of him. He said, all right, Lord, if you're really serious, let two deer jump out in front of me. He said, phew, phew. He said, now, Lord, if you're really, really, aren't we that way, though? But see, faith doesn't need confirmation. It just needs God to give us a command, and we go and we act upon it. God had already told them way back then, and I'll read it here in a minute, is to go into the land. Just possess the land. Don't worry about all the Ike brothers. Don't worry about all the walled cities. And don't worry about everything that's going on in that country. You just go, and I'll go with you. Because I've already given you the land. None of us are going to get to heaven and say, now, Lord, are you sure we can come in here? No, because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you may be also. Right? I mean, that's what he's already told us, that heaven is a place for us. We're not going to get to heaven and go, you ever think this is what he meant? Can we go in? I don't think we're going to have to be asked to come in. Now, look at what he's saying. He's giving us a picture here tonight of Moses saying, now, why don't y'all go spy out the land? Why don't you see if whether they be strong or weak, few or many, good or bad, or whether they're in tents or whether they're in strongholds and all this. Just go spy out the land. Well, in Exodus chapter 13, verse 5, and it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of Canaanites, Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, Abraham, a land flowing with milk and honey, thou shalt keep this service in this month. God says, when you go, I want you to keep doing what you're doing here now. You read in Deuteronomy, and I'll just read these real quick for you. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, it's a recap of this story. In verse 3 it says, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. It was a commandment that God was giving him. Chapter 1 verse 8 says, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed afterwards. And then in verse 21 it says, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. He said, Moses, look, you just go. He told the children of Israel, he said, go and possess the land. And now we see that really, if you go back in Deuteronomy also, he didn't tell them to go up and spy the land. He told them to go up and to see which way is best to go into the land. Read Deuteronomy chapter 1. It tells us the very fact of what he told them to do. He said to go up into the land and to see which way is best. The people were asking Moses, Moses, we need to check this out. By the way, popular demand can get you in trouble, can't it? When God says to do something, we ought to do it. We see the children of Israel make it into the promised land, but it took them 40 years. And that the generation that is right now didn't make it because they all died off in the wilderness because of unbelief. Sometimes we are the people of faith that ask God for something and God gives us, and then we doubt when He does. Lord, help us with that. I want to give you a second thing. Let me throw this in there before I go on. Sometimes the leader can cause the people to have disbelief. You say, talking about our pastor? No, I'm talking about fathers in the home. I'm talking about bosses at work, you as a worker at work. We can set the tone in our lives as Moses could have said, look, we're going in. Moses could have very well got up before them and said, look, he parted the Red Sea. Did y'all see what he did? Did you see all the plagues that he done in the land of Egypt? Did you see all that God's hand had done? Listen, he's going to do it again. He told us to go into the promised land. We're going to go. But that's not what he did. He halted the people and caused the people to doubt. The second thing we see is not only Moses here, but also we see the 10 spies saw obstacles rather than opportunities. They saw obstacles rather than opportunities. We see that in verse 26. There's a disease that is found in this chapter. I want you to notice it's in here. Verse 26, he says, but there remained two of the men in the camp. Verse 13, sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. I was like, what? That didn't sound right. And they that went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought backward unto them, and said to all the congregation, show them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong. They're so strong. Ain't it amazing? That dwell in the land, in the cities. We can't do it, guys. They got gates. They got walls, and very great, and moreover, saw the children of Achan there. Who were they? They were the big guys. We can't do it. Notice what else he says. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, and dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Jordan. We can't do this. Notice what else he says on verse 31. He says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able. Sounds like a good sob country song, doesn't it? We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. By the way, we're not talking about the children of Israel were not 1,000. They were not 100,000. They were in the millions. But I also know that there's people in the Bible who were one and had God and outdid any army. And we could go after story after story after story. But notice what happens in verse 32. It says, and brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched, and the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw that were men of great stature. Verse 33. And here's the disease that they had. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Achan, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You may have heard this before, but they had grasshopperitis. That is a bad disease to have. That grasshopperitis will get you every time. You notice what they said. They didn't say, well, we were grasshoppers in their sight. When they looked at us, they saw, no, the first thing he said was that we were grasshoppers in our own sight. We looked at our situation and we looked at ourselves and we looked at them and said, we can't do this. You see, the eyes of flesh will fail you. But the eyes of faith will not. Why? Because you see through God. And you see how big God is. And here we see that they had this grasshopperitis. And by the way, that plague's Christians all over the world. And you know what it causes us to do, as verse 31 says, is it causes us to use that phrase, we be not able. But with God, all things are possible. Even though God had told them to go and that He would fight for them, they said no. You see, man's view is found in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33. God's view is found in Isaiah 40, 22. I'll read it for you. If you want to write that down, God's view is found in Isaiah 40, 22. It says, it is He, talking about God, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. It's not flat. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Isn't that funny that they said, we be grasshoppers? And God says, when I look at the world, guess what? I see the inhabitants as grasshoppers. Why? Because how big is God? God is infinity. God is we can't measure God. We can't put a measurement on God because He's everywhere. And God is bigger than anything that we will face. But yet when they saw that, they said, we can't do it. You go on over to chapter 14, it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. The people wept that night. I mean, they're crying. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. It's y'all's fault. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. What a statement. You know what a lack of faith does in a child of God's life? It's called depression. You know why? Because you get grasshopperitis. You get sick. Right? You get plagued with, I can't. I can't do anything. I try to serve God, but I can't. No, you can't. Good job. We all need to figure that out. But God can. And that's why children of God get depressed. That's why they find themselves in that dark place in their life, is because they quit trusting God. They quit putting their faith in God. They quit looking at God as how big He is. And they start looking at their circumstances and looking at their problems, and they heap up and they pile up, and they can't see God. They can't see the sun from all the things piling up in their life. Instead of going, you know what? God's got this. Here you go, God, I can't handle it. There will come a time in your life when you will face things that you cannot, through your flesh, take care of. See, there's things we can take care of in our life, right? I mean, but there are things that God has to take care of in our life. Warren Wiersbe said this. I think this is so good. He said, "Unbelief blinds you to God's greatness and magnifies your own weakness." Let me read that again. Warren Wiersbe. "Unbelief blinds you to God's greatness and magnifies your own weakness." Isn't that true? Let me give you the last thing tonight. We see the last thing. Joshua and Caleb choose faith over fear. Joshua and Caleb choose faith over fear. Out of the 10, they said that we be not able. We can't do this. And two of them said, wait a minute. I want you to go to verse 30, if you will. Notice what Caleb does. He steals the people. He says, wait a minute. And Moses said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we and are well able to overcome it. We're able to overcome it. We see the faith of Joshua. We see the faith of Caleb in this time. They said, look, we've seen the land. We've seen what's over there. And yes, there's giants. Yes, there's those things over there. But God has already given us the victory. God just says, go. In verses in chapter 14, if you want to look over there real quick, chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh," "which were of them that searcheth the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the congregation, or company of children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into..." Notice where their focus was. Their focus was faith. They were not of the others which were of fear. They were of faith. They said, if it be the Lord. Now notice what He says. "He will bring us into the land and will give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." He said, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us." You think they're going to learn about bread on their journey of 40 years? And think about the statement. He said, "Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." See, they chose faith over fear. Cori ten Boom said this. Most of y'all know who she is. She housed folks during the Holocaust, during that time her family did. And this is one of her quotes. It said, "Fate sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible." And then here in the last, it's been a few years ago, a songwriter wrote this song. And if you look it up, Legacy 5 sings it. It says, "Fate sees the invisible, believes the impossible, receives the incredible, no matter what was. Faith moves the unmovable, proves the unprovable. For anyone willing to trust, believe, and you'll see what faith does." Faith's amazing. See, I love the way Joshua said it. Look, hey, there's a mountain. Yes, there is giants in this land. There are people, but he said, don't fear them, because why? God is with us. You say, do you think God ever showed them that He would do it? Remember when they parted the Jordan River? You know the first place they came to? It was called Jericho. Jericho was a great walled city. No doubt it was one of the cities that they saw on their journey. And Joshua said, there it is. You know what faith does? It doesn't make sense. Faith doesn't see with the eye. It sees through God. Joshua said, I got a plan, guys. Can you imagine when his guys gathered around and they're like, all right, Joshua, what are we going to do? We're going to flank to the right, to the left. We're going to get this and that. Joshua said, no, we're not going to do that. Okay, Joshua, can you imagine those men of army, the army men there, you know, his mighty men, they're going, all right, Joshua, tell us what we're going to do. All right, well, on the first day, we're going to march around. Okay, we like that. It's going to scout it out, right? We're going to do that again the second day. Okay, we need to scout it out. I guess we need to get a plan down. Well, we're going to do that for 7 days. But on that seventh day, we're going to march around 7 times, and then the priests are going to blow trumpets, and the walls are going to fall. I can just imagine Jethro in the back row going, hey, maybe that's, they didn't, wasn't their name, but Joshua, I don't know if I, you know, I don't know if I understand this plan. And Joshua says, good, because it's God's plan. But you notice what happened? They had a leader that had faith, and they followed him. And at the end of that seventh day, when that trumpet sounded, those children of Israel shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. And Joshua and his men went up and took the land. That's what faith is. Faith sees beyond the trials. And Joshua was looking to the day when that happened. And Joshua got to see that day because he had faith. Let me ask you tonight. Maybe you can't see because of the trials and all the things in your society. But listen, there's a God in heaven who sees over those trials, who sees through those trials and sees the victory on the other side. Put your faith in Him. Faith doesn't see with the naked eye. Faith sees through God and through God's Word. Listen, I don't know what you're facing. There may be a mountain standing in the way. The Bible says if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, at that mountain you say, remove hence and it'll move. How is that? Because God can cause that to happen. What is your mountain tonight? What is your trial tonight? Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll pray and then Pastor come. Father, we love You. Thank You for the night, Lord. Thank You for Your Word. And Father, thank You for Joshua and Caleb and, Lord, their faith that it was displayed. Lord, that we saw the unbelief, but Lord, we've seen the faith. Lord, thank You that Joshua got to see those walls come down. Lord, thank You that he got to see the victory in his day. Lord, we're so grateful that You love us and so grateful, Lord, that You do give us the victory through faith. Help us to believe, Lord. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. As Pastor comes.